Hey everybody, and welcome into the audio-only version of JB's Bible and Bourbon Talk. We are available on all of the podcatchers which you have because you are here. We are also available on YouTube and Rumble, as well as several social media platforms. jbbibleandbourbon.com/social is going to have all that information. We thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to listen to us. If you want to further support our mission and our vision and help us reach more people, jbbibleandbourbon.com/social. Click on that Patreon link, which is going to help you come alongside and support us at our various Patreon tiers. At our Apostle and Disciple tier, you get monthly time with JB and I, and you get an end-of-year swag gift to thank you for your support. On today's episode, we tackle the question, what is truth, as we continue our series, One-on-One with Jesus. We also dive into a pour that I've been so excited to open up, 2XO Phoenix Blend from the master blender, Dixon Dedman. Now, sit back, settle in, let's go. Cue the intro.
Guess what?
Trucks.
No. It's time for another episode.
Gosh, that makes more
of
sense.
JB's Bible and Bourbon Talk.
That does make more sense.
And I'm so excited because we are in my studio together.
Yeah.
This is the first time Rob and I are recording in my new studio. Of course, my name is JB. I'm a pastor at Reformed Church near Ohio. And with me is my wonderful co-host, as I've alluded to, the amazing, the never matched, always outwitted, Fancy Rob.
Wow. That was an aggressive introduction. All right. So I am Fancy Rob. So I am typically in my studio in North Carolina. Wonderful events happen, bring JB and I to the same place at the same time. So we're going to record something.
Yeah.
And that's where we are today. So if you want to know more information about us, watch previous episodes, listen to previous podcasts, all of those type of things, go to jbbibleandbourbon.com/social. So that is going to have all of our social media links, Instagram, Facebook, all of that stuff. It's also going to let you know how to reach out to us via email. You can subscribe to us on all the podcatchers. Those are free for a limited time only, and the only limit on that time is always. And also, we are available on YouTube and Rumble for your video viewing pleasure. jbbibleandbourbon.com/social.
All right. So, as I said, Rob is here at my house this time around. We got in late a couple days ago, and had to chase my cat around the neighborhood.
We did, indeed.
That was fun at midnight, getting back from a long trip. Did you notice that my neighbors have chickens?
I did not. It was very dark and
it was
very
pretty
cold,
dark.
So.
And so I had to do a lot of things to work on getting it so their chickens would stay out of my yard.
Okay.
And so I had to set some stuff up. But I'm happy to say that my yard is now impeccable.
That's what I was waiting on. So do your neighbors actually have chickens?
No, not my neighbors, but there are some people in the neighborhood who do have them.
Okay.
I've seen them before, and I believe one of our previous cats actually tried to make lunch out of one of them.
I mean, they're delicious.
I mean, especially in nugget form or
also,
wings.
You have an incredibly loose HOA. So
yes.
Well done, chickens. Go ahead.
Yeah. So that was a good joke, right? I want your assurance.
I mean,
I'm just kidding.
It was clucking hysterical.
So,
Wow.
Does that get us rid of our PG-13 rating? Or
I was very clear with my enunciation.
Okay, so we're just going to move along and say that we're continuing in a series called One on One with Jesus, where we're looking through the Gospel of John to look at some of the big questions in life. So this week, what we're going to look at is what is truth? And I think in our society right now, in the world right now, I think there's a need for absolute truth.
Yeah.
And so what we look at here in the story that we're going to read, Pontius Pilate is getting ready to put Jesus on trial, and he asks, what is truth? And so I know for many of us, that's a question we ask regularly. As a believer, unbeliever, I tried to find out what was true about the afterlife. Now, as a believer, I strive after what is the truth in Scripture. So it's a big question in
it
life.
Is. And before we dive into the big question, we should dive into our first pour.
Yes. See, I was all about business.
You were all about business. And business is good, but...
yeah. All right, so today we are drinking on Old Forester 1920 Prohibition style, which was a wonderful gift from my friend Craig Meyer.
It was the christening of the space, I believe.
Yes. So Craig lovingly, and he and his wife, worked on getting my studio renovated. And I come in after the renovations, and this is the lone bottle that was sitting in here. So thank you, Craig and Shell, for first of all, for all the hard work you put into the room, but also for this delicious bottle of whiskey. Yeah. So,
and the further renovations JB has done is all of the subsequent bottles that are now
around. Yes.
He has a very unique decorating style.
I do. It's highly whiskey oriented. Mm-hmm. Even that clock in the background is a Glenfiddich clock that used to be a box for a bottle of whiskey. Mm-hmm. So as I said, we're looking at what is truth in the Gospel of John. So before we dig into the message, Rob, would you pray for us?
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time today. Father, we thank you for time together. We thank you for showing us what truth is, revealing truth through your scripture, through your son, through just your revelations to us, Father God. We pray for strength and boldness to continue to stand up for truth, or to stand up for truth for the first time, depending on where we are, what station we're at in life, Father God. We thank you for this. We thank you for revealing this to us. And we thank you for those that are listening and watching wherever they are, wherever they're at, Father. We pray that pray this message reaches their heart. We thank you and we praise you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. So when we think about society today, I hate to be that, when we think about society today, but honestly, the world is going to tell you that truth is subjective, right? Truth is based off of your perception. It's based off of your feelings. It's based off of what you think is true. And that is not the case. It's, you know, truth isn't based on our opinions. It's not based on our perspective or our feelings, you know? So our feelings don't change what truth is. The world wants you to believe that there's no absolute truth, right? And so, meaning that you can't know anything 100%. So something might be true for one person, but it's not true for the other person. So if truth is subjective, it's still true, even if it's not. So it kind of contradicts itself. The world says that there's no absolute truth, but that sentence in itself kind of collapses in on itself. Yeah. If there's no absolute truth, then that statement can't be an absolute truth. So there is absolute. So anyways, so they want you to believe that you will never know absolute truth, no matter what. But I'm telling you that you can know absolute truth. And by knowing the absolute truth, you can be set free. You see, the truth is someone, not something. So today we're going to look at the story of Jesus as he was brought before Pontius Pilate to be brought on trial and executed. And our main passage today starts in John chapter 18, and we're going to look at verses 33 through 36 first. We're going to go through this kind of back and forth between Pilate and Jesus. And I'm reading out of the ESV, and it says, "So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, 'Are you the king of the Jews?' Jesus answered, 'Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it about me?' Pilate answered, 'Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?' Jesus answered, 'My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not of this world.'" So the last message we talked about, what Jesus has done for us. He's modeled for us servant leadership, unconditional love, and the fullness of grace. And he did all of that the night he was betrayed and brought to trial. So Pilate asks him this really interesting question in the entire passage where he says, "What is truth? What is truth?" And that same attitude, I think, kind of pervades our culture. It's, you know, common for people to deny absolute truth. And so when we're looking at this truth, what is truth? The first thing I say about that is that truth is not something subjective. Right. Truth is someone special. And that's Jesus. And so what happened was, on the night of the trial, the Pharisees, they presented to Pilate what they perceived to be as true, that mm-hmm. Jesus was not the Son of God, that Jesus was in fact wrong. And that was their truth. So Pilate, in his interrogation, asks Jesus, "Are you King of the Jews?" Pilate tells him, "This is what these people are saying is the mm-hmm. truth about you." But that was subjective truth given to him by the Pharisees, something that they truly thought. They thought that was that truth, and it was wrong. But it wasn't the absolute truth. Remember, our feelings, our perceptions, our opinions don't model or mold truth. There is absolute truth, and that truth is that Jesus is the Son of God.
Yeah.
That being said, the Pharisees, what they thought and felt, could not change what absolute truth was. Jesus is king, but not just king of the Jews. He is king of the universe. He said, "My kingdom is not of this world." So what Jesus does is he goes against subjective truth with the absolute truth of who he is by saying, "My kingdom is not of this world." He says, yeah. "I'm king and Lord over all of creation." And so in that moment, he destroys the subjective truth of the Pharisees with his absolute truth.
And I think that brings us to John 14, 6, and 7. I'll be reading from the ESV. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him."
Yeah, and so what is truth? Mm. I mean, it's right there.
Yeah.
Again, it's not something subjective. It's no. someone.
And people often say that Jesus never definitively said all these things. And I mean, that's a pretty clear, concise statement. There's not a whole lot of ambiguity in
yeah.
that. It's very straightforward.
He does say, "I am," mm-hmm. you know,
right.
"I am," which is the name of God.
Right. Exactly.
And he says, "I am the way, the truth, the mm-hmm. life. No one gets to the Father except through me." And so he's very clear on who he is. Mm-hmm. And so what we see in our passage is God is yeah. on trial. Man is trying to persecute him. And the Pharisees bring subjective truth, but Jesus brings absolute truth. What we have to kind of contend with is, do we believe that there's absolute truth in mm-hmm. Jesus? Scripture clearly shows us yes. And I ask that question because I want the death, the burial, and the resurrection are all historical fact. Mm-hmm. It's not just biblical texts that speak to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. It's extra biblical texts. Mm-hmm. Josephus, Tacitus, both have written about the events of death and resurrection of Jesus. Even, the Hebrew Talmud talks about Jesus as a person.
Yeah.
So the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus is something that's been proven over and over again through writings, through excavations. So there's evidence for the absolute truth of what happened to Jesus and who he is. And I want you to really think about that. Is there absolute truth? And if there is, can you know absolute truth? Can you know absolute truth? And so in John 18, verse 37, we find an answer to that.
Yeah.
And in John 18, 37, again in the ESV, it says, "Then Pilate said to him, 'Jesus, so you are a king.' And Jesus answered, 'You say I'm a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. And everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice."
So point two really just spells that out, right? You can know truth. You can know Jesus.
Yeah. You can know truth.
Yeah.
You can know Jesus. It says everyone who is of the truth listens to Jesus' voice. Mm-hmm. So Jesus is on trial before Pilate, and he essentially says, "Do you want to know truth? Do you want to know truth? Then listen. Listen to my voice. Do you want to know truth? Well, then get to know me.
Yep.
Get in a relationship with me." You know, I ask you as you listen to this, do you want to know the truth?
Yeah.
Or do you want to stay comfortable in the subjective truths of the world? Because
yeah.
I will say, before a believer, being in the subjective truths of the world, it's far more comfortable. It's a lot more easier. It was easier for me to sleep in on Sundays. It was easier for me to play video games instead of going to church and sitting in my comfortable chair and drinking coffee. It was easier for me before I started giving to the church. You know, it was more comfortable
yeah.
to stay in those subjective truths of the world.
It is, absolutely. And I know that, you know, a lot of you out there listening, watching, may be wavering back and forth between this, right? You may be holding on to something. You know, you're going to church, you're giving, you're going through motions of Christianity, of a relationship with Christ, but you're still holding on to something keeping you separated, that is keeping something, whatever you believe to be easier for you. And you know, really need to open up and allow Christ to change us. And Revelation 3:20 from the New King James, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." So really, we need to open up to Jesus. We need to answer that knocking of the door, which mm-hmm. sometimes we hear incredibly loud. Sometimes we do everything in our power to muffle it, but he is knocking. And we just need to answer that door, and he'll come in and dine with us, and we'll be in his presence, and he'll be with us, and we'll be with him.
Yeah. And so basically Jesus is saying it here in Revelation 3:20, get to know me.
Yeah.
The word for, meal or dining in this passage was dipnon in the Greek. And that is the one meal where everybody sits together. It's like the end of the day. Mm-hmm. You're relaxing, but you're fellowshipping. You're talking. And that's what Jesus wants. Mm-hmm. He wants this deep connection, this relationship with us, so that we can know the truth of who he is.
Absolutely.
You know, and we can know that truth in a loving relationship with Jesus by following mm-hmm. him as our Lord and Savior. And the thing about the truth, you know, when you get into that relationship with Jesus, you can know truth.
Mm-hmm.
You can know Jesus,
mm-hmm.
but you have to, you know, allow that truth to transform you. Jesus is truth, but you have to allow him to transform you. Mm. In John, well, before we get into that, we're going to go for a second pour today. Mm-hmm. Calumet 15, another gift bottle, by the way.
JB doesn't buy his own bottles anymore, apparently.
Apparently. Yes. This was a gift from Pastor John Fulton. We were hanging out one weekend, you know, him and his wife, me and my wife, and he bought a bottle of whiskey he wanted to gift to me. And so he grabbed this one from the shelf, one I hadn't had because, well, the price tag is, it's up there. And that I don't always have the money to go buy an expensive bottle, but I was happy to receive this one as a gift.
Yeah.
And I used my kitty cat glass on my second pour.
We got to stay on brand, right?
And this is actually a pour we had on Whiskey Weekend as well. It was passed around the bus. As we go back to the main passage and we think about allowing the truth to transform us, we look at John chapter 18, verses 38 through 39, again in the ESV, where it says, "Pilate said to him, 'What is truth?'" Here's the question. What is truth? And after he said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, "I find no guilt in him. But you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover. So you want me to release to you the King of the Jews?" So it's not enough to know truth. You can know all the facts you want, right?
Yeah.
You can know everything about Jesus. You know, maybe you've heard his name, but you've not allowed him to transform your life. Maybe, you know, maybe you went to Sunday school as a kid and you know a bunch of stories about Jesus, but you haven't brought him into your heart. You haven't been in a relationship with him. There are people who sit in church their whole lives, but never truly know Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And so Pilate heard Jesus's story and he heard the truth. And what did the truth do to him? You know, he was supposed to be convicting Jesus and he sees the truth of who Jesus is. He says, "There is no guilt in this man. This man is sinless. He is blameless." So it's not enough to just know truth, but you need to let the truth transform you. You know, you can store up as many facts as you want, and it still won't matter unless you allow him to transform your life. If we look at John chapter 8, verses 30 through 36.
"Then many of the Jewish leaders who heard him say these things began believing him to be the Messiah. Jesus said to them, 'You are truly my disciples if you live as I tell you to, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But we, as descendants of Abraham, they say, and have never been slaves to any man on earth, what do you mean set free?' Jesus replied, 'You are slaves to sin, every one of you, and slaves don't have rights. But the Son has every right there is. So if the sun sets you free, you are free indeed.
Yeah, it's not enough to know truth. Mm-mm. But you have to allow that truth to transform you. The truth can transform your life. It did it for me.
Yep.
Jesus first sets us free from our sin. And then it says, you will know the truth, Jesus. And the truth, Jesus, will set you free. And the good news is that we're not just forgiven, but we're transformed into a new creation.
The application of this verse, you know, today is people have everything they want. They have everything they need. They're enjoying all of the things that life has to give them, that the world has to give them. And they don't believe that they need Jesus. They don't believe they need that truth, because my life's good. It's going well. I've got, you know, the car, the kids, the wife, the home, you know, all the things.
Yep.
What do I need Jesus for? What do I need that truth for? My truth is working just fine.
Yep.
We almost have that same, I guess, level of audacity that, that you see here when the descendants of Abraham were like, well, we're not slaves. So, you know, we don't really need to be free. Not understanding that the freedom in Christ is a vastly different type of freedom. And it's a freedom that far surpasses, you know, the freedom that they had in the world, but it also surpasses our freedom of the things that we have and the things that we chase in the world. And it's really nothing that you have ever experienced if you haven't experienced the freedom in Christ.
Yeah, and that's resting in the subjective truth of the world versus the absolute truth of who Jesus is and what Scripture says. But when we follow Jesus, as you know, have Him as our Lord and Savior, He transforms us. Yeah. The truth transforms us into new people. It says in 2 Corinthians 5, when someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. He is not the same anymore.
Yeah.
A new life has begun. That's being transformed by the truth. And then it goes on to say, all these new things are from God, who brought them back to Himself through what Christ did. And God has given us the privilege of urging everyone to come into His favor and be reconciled to Him. Mm. And so that is allowing the truth to transform you. And I can say this is, it's 100% truth. I've experienced it, but it's not just my perception. It's truth that's found in Jesus. Jesus changed my life. Mm-hmm. His truth has set me free from my sins and the lies of this world. Jesus has given my life meaning and purpose to be able to preach the gospel and to teach and share with others. When I gave my life to Jesus, I began to change. And when you allow Jesus in your life, you can't help but change. Right. You know, yes, some people change quicker than others.
Yeah.
The change can be gradual. The change can be pretty quick. But Jesus will transform your life in some way, shape, or form when you come to Him. The things of this world, those subjective truths that I once held dear, they seemed pointless to me after coming to Jesus. You know, next to His amazing love, next to His grace, next to His mercy, all those things seem worthless to me. And His truth brings me more joy to my life than any of those things ever did. Hmm. And so the world does tell you that truth is subjective, that truth is based off our feelings, our perceptions, our opinions. It's, you know, true that we have our own perceptions, our own feelings, our own opinions. Hmm. But that doesn't change truth.
No.
Our perception, our feelings do not change truth, but we can know truth in Jesus.
Yeah.
And Jesus alone.
Well said. And I think with that, y'all, we'll be right back with our page report. And we're back. Welcome back, y'all, for our feature pour. I am really excited about this one.
Yeah.
I had a small pour of this over the weekend. It was spectacular, exquisite, and I'm looking forward to having it again. So we are going to, JB, hold that bottle up.
Wait, how many more adjectives can you use? Spectacular,
exquisite.
Exquisite.
How quickly he forgets.
Any more adjectives?
I don't, you know,
Before I bring out the bottle.
Saving them for the nose and the palate. So let's go.
All right, my friends. We have 2XO.
Yeah, we have
Phoenix blend.
We have the 2XO Phoenix blend from the 2XO distillery, 2x oaked, if you're, you know, catching the clever letter wordplay. It is clocking in at 104 proof, 52% ABV. There is no age state on this. The mash bill is a blend of two Kentucky mash bills. One is a moderate rye and one is a high rye mash bill, so they're not completely disclosed. MSRP on this is $99.99, 2023 in Ohio. Ohio. And we do have a fun story of kind of how we came about this bottle, JB.
I don't know that it's all that fun.
It was fun for me.
Well, yeah. Sometimes bourbon hunting in Ohio is terrible.
Yes.
So basically, it's know the truck days. If you want anything allocated, wait in line, see what they get. I just actually happened to stop by one of my local liquor stores.
I mean, you know, they sell liquor.
Maybe not. Yeah. I stopped by the liquor store just to pick. I was going in to pick up like my daily drinker, get an Evan Williams bottle to buy, mm-hmm. or see what else they.
Little
might
did he know.
Little did I know. So I go into the store mm-hmm. and walking down the aisle, just perusing, and I look over and I saw three bottles of the 2XO just sitting on mm-hmm. the shelf. And so I grab one and I grabbed two. I immediately called Rob and I was like, Rob, mm-hmm. I just found this on the shelf.
You did? He's like, do that.
Yes.
Yes.
I will take it. And so, yeah, just randomly sitting on the shelf in Ohio. At MSRP, so I was really excited to pick it up, and mm-hmm. so we decided that we were going to give it a try on the show.
Yeah, and I was sitting in a bar watching the World Cup with my son, and then I was very happy to get that call and find that bottle. And it was about 2 days after Josh had called me from another liquor store, another round of items, so it was an expensive week, but all incredibly worth it. So.
It was at the same liquor store, too, by
was
the
it?
Way.
Yeah. Just a different day?
Yeah, different nice. Day. So
you have to stop going there.
Yeah.
Or at least take a break. We'll take a little break.
Yeah. So we're going to go ahead and dive into 2XO Phoenix Blend.
And it is called Phoenix Blend, just a little bit, not much. But it is Dixon Dedman is the master blender. He's an excellent master blender. You know, former any of the Kentucky Owl fame of mm-hmm. the old batches, delicious, wonderful, mm-hmm. wonderful whiskeys.
Yeah.
And this is the Phoenix Blend is his first blend with 2XO on his own. So I hate you, JB, for one thing.
Sure.
You said licorice.
Yeah.
Instead of liquor store.
And you're getting licorice on the nose.
Yeah. Yep,
you're getting licorice on the nose.
So I don't know if that was there before you said it or...
No, it was definitely there before you said it. Mm-hmm. I can see that.
Yeah, I'm definitely picking up licorice. It's really... I'm only going to take one more and then I'll let you say some things. It's really earthy, like mm-hmm. Almost a dusty trail in a good way.
Yeah, well, I think that's the oak you're getting on.
Yeah.
Definitely a great amount of oak.
Oh, yeah.
Stone fruit on the nose, like a dark cherry, mm-hmm. stone fruit.
It's almost like a dark fruit jam.
Dark fruit jam. That'd be a great barrel pick name, dark fruit jam.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Okay. And at 104, I mean, I'm full schnoz in, taking a deep breath, and it's fantastic.
And there's good sweetness on the nose, too.
Absolutely.
There's this underlying sweetness that is just wonderful. It comes in through at the end.
Mm, yeah, it really does. All right, are we going?
Yeah, we're going.
The palette? All right. Color is fantastic.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you get the oak.
So there's a lot here.
There's a lot of flavors. The one thing that hit me first was honey. Like, I'm getting a honey sweetness.
Okay.
Not necessarily, like, an overpowering honey flavor.
Right. The oak is hitting me, but it's almost like a maple syrup in oak.
Okay.
Which may be the honey sweetness you're getting. Mm-hmm. That fruit comes through. Now mm-hmm. it's a little more distinguishable mm-hmm. for me. I feel like it's more of a fig, dark, like a little bit more bitter chocolate.
Okay.
Not bitter, but, you know, a darker chocolate.
Yeah. We get some spiciness.
I do get spiciness.
The finish isn't terribly long. It's like a medium finish.
No, but that's when the rye spice comes out to me. Is the
right there at the end.
Is at the end. So one other thing on the finish. So we're out on the back deck. We have a pipe.
Yeah.
A little vanilla custard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like the tobacco sweetness. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's reminiscent.
No, I'm picking up what you're throwing down on that one. No, I kind of want a pipe.
Mm-hmm.
And now that you say that, when I go back in for that's a nose. That's all you smell? I get some vanilla, just a hint of vanilla with that oak,
mm-hmm.
which smells a lot like that pipe tobacco.
All around, incredibly pleasant,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, the nose, and they're relatively, I mean, they're the commonality goes through, but it is unique from each step along the way.
I'm really loving this pour. You know, sometimes you spend $60 mm-hmm. on your bottle and you're like, what did I do? We each spent about $100 on that.
Yeah. And for me to say that's a value at $100,
that's
definitely saying something, considering we don't typically have a lot of $100 bottles of bourbon on the shelves.
No. Although you look behind me.
I know, right?
1, 2, 3.
I'm making a liar. CJB, truth is not subjective.
We just said that truth is truth. Mm-hmm. Absolute truth is absolute truth.
This is a home run for that initial blend out of the mm-hmm. gates to really kick this brand off.
Yeah, if this is your first one, fantastic. I'm looking forward to the next one and the next one.
Yeah, I highly recommend you go out and get this, because the second Innkeeper's blend is going to be coming out soon.
Yes.
You don't want to separate the brothers, let me just tell you that. No. I haven't had Innkeeper's blend yet, but I'm definitely getting it. Dixon always just makes a masterfully blended whiskey, so I'm very, very happy.
When he's allowed to do what he wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
Unchained, unbridled.
Mm-hmm.
He is a majestic horse.
Yes.
Trotting through a field of greatness.
Yes.
Dixon, I see him as a centaur now.
So centaur?
Dixon Deadman. Just...
Is it like a goat centaur?
Yes. A little inside joke?
A little inside joke. Inside baseball for you there. But
I like inside jokes. I hope to be a part of one someday.
A fantastic pour. I mean, every layer of it is...
Yeah,
excellent.
It's like a centaur trotting through the field.
Exactly. I couldn't have...
In full majesty.
I couldn't have said it better myself.
Now, do you think if Dixon was a centaur,
mm-hmm.
that as he's trotting through the field, would he wear a shirt, or would he just be completely unbridled, just hair flowing in the breeze?
I mean, definitely hair flowing in the breeze. I'd probably be unbridled. I mean, it depends. If it's a cold Kentucky day...
No, let's say it's a warm summer.
If it's a warm summer Kentucky day through a wonderful field, we're painting the picture for you folks.
Yes.
Yes, he would definitely be unbridled.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Dixon in all of his glory. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
This got away from us, folks.
If Dixon were a centaur. Exactly. So anyways, so we've talked a lot about truth today.
We have.
And what I just said was not
true. And then somehow meandered into
somehow
centaur.
We got into the mythical creature of Dixon Deadman as a centaur,
yeah.
Which I think would, dude, that would make an amazing t-shirt.
I mean, the
just
artwork's
this
going
glorious, majestic field, and there's Dixon mm-hmm. as a centaur. Just ooh, then he should do centaur blend. Dixon,
we're bringing the ideas.
If you're listening,
that's right.
Centaur blend.
You're welcome. First one's free.
Dude, and you can market it like Renaissance festivals.
Mm-hmm.
And then he could show up dressed as a centaur.
Yeah. You could sell tens of bottles.
Tens of bottles at the Renaissance fair. What just happened?
Well, my editing is going to be off the hook.
We just talked about the truth of who Jesus is.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't talk about the truth of who Dixon is, but we did talk about the truth of who Jesus is.
Yeah.
That he is the absolute truth, that while there are subjective truths in the world, the absolute truth is that Jesus is the Son of God.
Yeah.
The absolute truth is that he did come to this world to save us from our sins by his sacrifice of the cross. And if you believe in him and him alone as your savior, you will be saved. If you want to know what absolute truth is and get away from the subjective truths of the world and know who Jesus is and know that without a doubt that you can spend eternity in heaven, I want you to reach out to us. We want to walk you through that. We want you to know the truth so that you can be set free by that truth. That truth is Jesus and Jesus alone. So if they want to reach out to us, Rob, how can they do that?
Absolutely, JB. So they can reach out to us at jbbibleandbourbon.com/social. So that's going to have all the social media links I talked about earlier on in the show. It'll have all the ways you can follow us, how you can subscribe to us in all the podcatchers, how you can subscribe to us on Rumble and YouTube, because those are great ways to see us in person and we're fantastic. You're also able to go to Patreon and support what we're doing here, support this channel, support this podcast, and support our vision for what we want to do in bringing Jesus conversations over great whiskey. jbbibleandbourbon.com/social. Click on that Patreon tier. Subscribe our Apostle and Disciple tier. Get end of your swag. Get monthly time with JB and I. jbbibleandbourbon.com/social.
Yeah. And so we're glad you joined us today. Yeah. I hope you're glad that you joined us, but may the love of God the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
We'll see y'all next time. Later, y'all.